Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 42. Psalm 42. Today I'm going to bring to completion the series that we've been in that I've called The Struggle is Real, because the Bible doesn't sugarcoat the fact that life is hard and that we struggle. But the good news is the Lord is near. And so I started this three-part series talking about anxiety and the God who cares. One theme you'll see repeatedly in the Bible is God cares for His people. Our God is a caring God. Last week we talked about brokenness and the God who heals. Today I want to talk about discouragement and the God who delivers. We all deal with discouragement. Raise your hand if you dealt with discouragement this week. All right, that's all of us. So discouragement is part of life. There are small discouragements, there are big discouragements, but we all experience discouragements. Not only discouragement, but its cousin disappointment and their nephew depression. One big dysfunctional family, you know. And so that's what we're going to look at today. Psalm 42 and then Psalm 43. And we're going to look at in the scriptures from their own mouths, from their own experiences, the words of good, godly people who struggled with discouragement. Psalm 42, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night. While men say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Verse 5. Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you. From the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar, deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs His love. At night His song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by my enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why so downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. Turn one chapter over to Psalm 43. Psalm 43, vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Rescue me from deceitful and wicked men. You are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God, my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the harp, my God, my God. Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. Lord, we can identify with the psalmist here. There are times in our lives, and maybe even now, there are times we say, why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why am I so discouraged? Why am I so depressed? Why am I so disappointed? Will there ever be an end to this? God, have you left me? Have you forsaken me? Have I done something wrong, God? These are questions that we commonly share as humans as we journey through life and experience the struggles of life. Maybe someone here today is struggling, hurting, very discouraged. I pray, God, that your word will encourage us, your spirit will empower us, and whatever valley we may be traveling through, that we will be reminded and assured that we are not alone, that you are with us, and the promise of your word is that God will deliver us. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Discouragement, disappointment, we all experience them in life. Life is hard. Sometimes the discouragements we face are self-imposed. A couple nights ago, I didn't want to cook dinner. Renee didn't want to cook dinner. So we said, let's order a pizza. And so I said, I'll type in the order, and I'll be the one to go pick up pizza, because I love you guys, and no one's in the mood to cook, and we've got a kid at home we still need to feed. So I said, Renee, what kind of pizza do you want? And she made it very clear. She wanted a cheese and mushroom pizza. Yeah. But that's what she wanted. Then I said, Micah, what kind of pizza do you want? He said, I don't care. Just pick out whatever. I gave him a second chance. I said, Micah, what do you want on your pizza? He said, I don't care. He must have been engrossed in a video game or a show or something. Third chance. I said, Micah, tell me now, as I'm ordering pizza, what do you want for your toppings? He said, I don't care. Okay. I went and did the order online, ran to Domino's, picked up two large pizzas, drove home. I said to the family, dinner's here. Renee comes down, and she was so grateful. Thank you, John, for getting pizza. And then I said, Micah, pizza's here. He comes down, and you know what he does? He goes, I don't like any of this. I said, Micah, I gave you three opportunities to tell me what you wanted as a topping for your pizza. And three times you said you didn't care. Well, I'm not happy with any of the choices you made. I said, Micah, that's not my fault. I gave you an opportunity. And you know what he did? He pouted all night long. He was disappointed. He was discouraged. But it was self-imposed. Oh, my goodness. Living with a 16-year-old. Pray for me, please. So there are disappointments we face in life. Sometimes they are self-imposed. And other times, life just happens. We all face discouragement and disappointment. Even the best among us face discouragement and disappointment. I saw a Barna study that said last year, 38% of pastors in USA and Canada were so discouraged they thought about just leaving the ministry and quitting. That's a big number of clergy who are struggling to faithfully minister the gospel of Jesus Christ in North America, where it's becoming increasingly secular and hostile to the gospel. I'm grateful for a supportive congregation. You make ministry delightful. That doesn't mean I don't face discouragements from time to time. Of course I do. Probably the biggest discouragement I face is when I see people who are not living up to their potential. I see it all the time. I see how God has so gifted certain people with gifts that I don't have and graces that I don't have, and yet they're squandering their God-given gifts and abilities. And as a pastor who wants to see people flourish and grow and be all that God wants them to be, that discourages me. And I see it every day. God wants so much more for His people. And when I see people living below what God has for them, it does discourage me. Discouragement, defined by the dictionary, is a loss of confidence or enthusiasm. Discouragement saps the courage out of you. That's why it's called discouragement. And we've all been there. We've all faced situations or dealt with people or circumstances that just sap the energy out of us. And we lack the courage and the motivation and the desire to press on. And we just lose hope. One of the points I want to make in this message today that I really want you to understand is that discouragement happens to even the most godly, righteous, God-fearing, God-seeking of people. That just because you're going through discouragement or disillusionment or disappointment does not mean that there's something wrong with you. I think in ancient times, as even in modern times, there is this misnomer that if you're discouraged, there's something wrong with you. That God must not be happy with you. I'm thinking of that story in John chapter 9 when Jesus and the disciples were walking and they came across this man who was blind from birth. And the first question the disciples asked Jesus was, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? The idea back then, and I think still many people have this concept today, is that this man is blind, something is wrong with this man because either his parents sinned or somebody sinned and God punished him with blindness. This idea that something is wrong with you, and that's why you're discouraged, depressed, despondent. And Jesus said, this man's parents didn't sin. But watch what I'm going to do. And you remember the story. Jesus knelt down and he made some mud and he put on the man's eyes and he healed the man. This man really could sing as we sang earlier, I once was blind, but now I see. If you're facing discouragement, disappointment, disillusionment, I don't want you to think that something is wrong with you. Even the godliest of people throughout history have faced some of the most lowest of lows. Turn to Psalm 34. Psalm 34, 19. I touched on this last week, but it's so important that I want to look at this again. Psalm 34, 19. The first part of this verse. A righteous person may have many troubles. Think about that with me. This is a righteous person. To be righteous means you're right with God. You're trying to live right. You're trying to do the right thing. This isn't an evil person. This isn't a wicked person. Yeah, they get into trouble. Wicked, evil, bad people get into trouble. But the scripture makes it very clear. A righteous person will have many troubles, may have many troubles. And so the Bible attempts to clarify this misnomer, that just because you're feeling down, discouraged, hopeless, does not mean you are not righteous. But the promise for the righteous that we read in the rest of this verse is that the Lord delivers them from them all. And so please, please, if you get anything out of this message today, it is that feelings of discouragement, depression, even anxiety and brokenness that we've talked about in the past does not mean God is mad at you or upset with you. It just means you're going through life like the rest of us. Jesus said in John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble. He doesn't sugarcoat it. Jesus doesn't say, if you follow me, you will never have problems again. I wish he did. But he didn't. This is one of the reasons why, for example, premarital counseling is so important. I meet a lot of couples who are in love. And you know, when you're in love, nothing can go wrong, right? I still remember when I first met Renee, that first couple of months, I was on cloud nine. I don't think we had an argument for months. And so when you're in love, you just think, I'm going to marry this person and life and marriage is going to be smooth sailing, right? Oh boy, then reality hits. Then you wake up and you have your first fight and you go, where did this come from? I thought we were in love. And so one of the things I like to do in premarital counseling is try to help couples anticipate and realize in this marriage, you will have troubles. I don't care how nice you are. I don't care how godly you are. You're going to have issues in this relationship. That's life. You're going to have disagreements. You're going to have, arguments. In this world, you will have troubles. In this marriage, you will have troubles. Having a kid, you will have issues. Life is full of struggles, discouragements, and heartaches. Even here in Psalm 42, the psalm begins with his intent to seek after God. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul longs for you, O God. This is a person here who's seeking diligently after God. This is a person who wants God more than anything. This is a person who is thirsty for God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. I want to meet with God. I want to go into his temple and worship him. This is a righteous person. This is not an evildoer. But then we go and we read several times in this chapter and in the next chapter. Why is my soul still downcast? Why am I discouraged? Why am I depressed? Why am I disappointed? Turn to Job chapter 1. Job is right before the book of Psalms. Job here helps us a little bit understand more about discouragement and depression and despondency. Job chapter 1, from the very beginning, he makes it very clear what kind of person, what kind of man Job was. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. Now get this. This is how the Bible very clearly describes who Job was. He wasn't a loser. He wasn't a criminal. He wasn't an evildoer. He wasn't unrighteous. He wasn't a blatant sinner. He wasn't a lawyer or a politician. This is how the Bible describes Job. And my apologies to lawyers and politicians, by the way. This man was blameless, upright, feared God, and shunned evil. Boy, if people would say that about me, I would be thrilled. If people said that about you, you would be thrilled. Job was a good, righteous, holy man. The scriptures can't make it any clearer. He was blameless and upright. He feared God and he shunned evil. He did not go out and do bad stuff. He didn't lie. He didn't steal. He didn't murder. He was a good, honest man who walked with God. You know the rest of the story, how the devil sought God's permission to do everything in his power to cause Job to be discouraged. The devil took it upon himself as a kind of a mission. I'm going to do everything I can to bring Job down, to bring him to the point of discouragement and depression, where he's going to curse God and walk away from God. Job lost his wealth, lost his livelihood, lost his family, lost everything. Sores and boils all over his body. He was in a miserable position. Well, the prevailing idea of the day was he must have done something wrong. He must have had sin in his life. And his three friends only perpetuated that notion. So let's look at what his first friend says to him. Turn to Job chapter 4. Job chapter 4. His first friend comes up to him in verse 5 of Job chapter 4 and says this. Hey, Job, trouble has come to you and you are discouraged. Yeah, thanks for telling me something I don't know, right? I know I'm discouraged. With friends like Job's friends, who needs enemies, right? Hey, Job, you are discouraged. Thank you for telling me what I already know. Go to verse 7 of Job chapter 4. Consider now, who being innocent has ever perished? Were the upright ever destroyed? As I have observed, those who plow evil and those who sow trouble reap it. Thanks. He's basically saying, Job, you must have done something wrong to bring all this calamity upon you. Let's go to Job's second friend. Go to Job chapter 8. Job chapter 8, verse 20. Surely God does not reject a blameless man or strengthen the hands of evildoers. Gee, thanks for the encouragement, friends. Thanks for lifting me up. Let's go to Job's third friend in Job chapter 11. Job chapter 11, verse 14. If you put away the sin that is in your hand and allow no evil to dwell in your tent, then you will lift up your face without shame and you will stand firm without fear. Gee, thanks. You see, the prevailing notion was Job must have done something wrong and God has brought this calamity upon him and now he's discouraged, he's lost everything, he's depressed, and that's simply not true. Job's friends got it wrong. A lot of people today still get it wrong. Just because you're discouraged, just because you're depressed, just because you're dealing with being down does not mean God hates you. Good, righteous, God-fearing, holy people will experience discouragement. If you're discouraged today, I don't want you to feel like God is mad at you, or God has left you, or that God has abandoned you. You're just dealing with life. The scriptures remind us that God is with us, that the struggle is real, but God is near, and He will deliver us. He will walk us through the trials that we go through. And I want to point out the words of Joshua. Go to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. This was a pivotal point in the history of God's people. Moses, the great Moses, who himself experienced times of discouragement and despondency, the great leader of God's people, Moses, had just died, and so there was a great deal of uncertainty among the people of God. And God had told them to go, and He has a new land for them, and a new mission for them, and new adventures for them. And in Joshua chapter 1, the Lord is speaking to a new leader of God's people named Joshua. And He says in verse 6, "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers." Verse 7, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you." And then in verse 9, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified and do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Take hold of the promise of God to Joshua, which is the same promise for us. If you are discouraged today, look to the Lord. He is with you. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you and will go with you wherever you go. You know, we all have these cell phones, smartphones, most of us. We freak out when the battery level gets down to 15%, right? And we know something is wrong. We know we must charge the battery for these phones to work properly. I want to say to you, if you're discouraged today, and if your battery is running on low, turn to God. He will charge you back up. That doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be free from the discouragements that you're dealing with. It means that God is with you. Take care of yourself. Look to God first. Look to other good people to support you and encourage you and build you up and walk with you and walk alongside you through the discouragements of life. But make sure you take care of yourself. Focus on the Lord. Focus on others. What I have found often in my times of discouragement is I just need to take the focus off of myself and focus on others. Jesus said it this way, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So if I take my focus off of myself in my times of discouragement and I start to love on other people, that builds me up. And it helps me through my times of discouragement, and it builds others up. And so take time for yourself. Make sure your relationship with God is strong. He is going to charge your batteries up. Go love on others. Take your focus off of yourself. But do what you need to do to keep yourself up and running so that you can be a blessing to others. I love this song in our hymnal, His Eyes on the Sparrow. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. If His eye is on the sparrow, I know He watches me. Let not your hearts be troubled. His tender words I hear, and resting on His goodness, I lose my doubt and fear. Though by the path He leadeth, but one step I may see, if His eye is on the sparrow, then you know He's watching over you. Whenever I'm tempted, whenever clouds arise, when songs give place to sighing, when hope within me dies, I draw the closer to Him. From care He sets me free. Listen, if God's eye is on the sparrow, then you know He's watching over you.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and East Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.